Support for KPLU comes from Baird, a financial partner to families, businesses, foundations, and communities since 1919. More information is available at BairdSeattle.com. Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC.
It is a party situation in the studios today. One of KPLU's favorites, Jovino Santos Neto, is here. He grew up in Rio de Janeiro, in his 20s became a musical partner of composer and musical icon Hermeto Pascual, moved to Seattle about 20 years ago, playing piano with many local and international groups as well as his own projects. He's been thrice nominated at the Latin Grammys, earned the Earshot Jazz Award for Northwest Instrumentalist of the Year in 2004, was inducted into the Seattle Jazz Hall of Fame in 2012. Jovino is also a much-respected educator at Cornish College, where he's been teaching since the mid-90s, and is a private instructor in English, French, Spanish, or Portuguese, whichever you like. His latest album is called Current, and live in the KPLU studios today, we present his quintetto with Ben Thomas at the Vibes, Chuck Deerdorf on bass, and we have Mark Ivester and Jeff Bush with drums and percussion. Please welcome Jovino Santos Neto's quintetto. Thank you. Jovino Santos Neto and his quinteto with Ben Thomas at the vibraphone, Chuck Deerdorf bass, Mark Ivester drums, Jeff Bush at the percussion. Welcome to the show. Great to have
you. Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful to have all five of you here, five of the top musicians in the Seattle area, once again proving KPLU's commitment to the local scene for the third week in a row. Chuck Deerdorf in our studios on bass. Interestingly, the one member of this quintet not from here, Jovino, tell us a little bit about growing up in Brazil. Every time I see a picture of Rio, I hear music, and it seems like that would be a wonderful place to grow up and be learning music.
I think so, too, because not being aware of it, because usually fish are not aware of the water, right? They're swimming around, but I was swimming in an ocean of water, and that water was music. So, you know, just all kinds of things. There was a brass band playing down the street, and there was Afro-Brazilian rituals happening next door, and there was, you know, religious, profane, carnival, everything mixed together, which pretty much defines what Brazil is, you know. It's a mix of all the cultures of the world in one place. You just shake the big bag, and that's where. So having that experience growing up and then having the apprenticeship with the great Amato Pascoal has given all of us who work with him a very open, basically, you tear down those walls, tear down these walls. So we look at music just for what it is. So we managed to have fun, and I'm so happy to have the quinteto here, because there's something is one thing is to play with great musicians. The other thing is to develop a work over like 20 years. We're over 20 years playing together already. So there's a sort of telepathy and intuition that happens that is one of the most exciting things that I have. So playing together with these guys is the biggest joy.
I'd love to ask you about your connection with Ermeto Pascual. Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with an icon like that back home?
It was really funny because I was actually studying biology at the time. So I found out he had moved while I was away studying biology. I moved to a place not far away from my mom's house. So I just showed up at his house one day just to actually shake his hand. I wasn't interested in playing in the band. I didn't even think that I could dream of that. And I had other plans for me, which were to become a researcher in the Amazon and work with. But then I just showed up at his house and shook his hand, and just without actually hearing me play, he hired me for a gig 6 days after that. And I go, this guy must be crazy. And indeed. So I told him I can only do that one gig because I had to go to school. I had had to go on to my postgrad degree work. And he says, okay, you just stay as long as you want. You can go when you want. And I stayed for 15 years. So that's the rest of the story.
And Ermeto's still a really big part of your life. You're collecting a lot of his works.
Yeah, I work with him basically as a big archivist of all his music, but we also collaborate. Our last time was a few years ago in London, celebration for his 75th birthday. I conduct big bands and orchestras doing his music. And every time we run into each other, of course, we have to play because he's really sort of a musical father, not only to me, but many generations of and Brazilian and American musicians. I mean, a lot of these guys don't say, but people like Gil Evans, Herbie Hancock, Miles Davis, Chick Corea, Stanley Clarke, they all saw Ermeto in action. They have a huge debt to his work. If you know that the Herbie Hancock piece with the bottles that goes doo-beep, boop-beep, well, it turns out that a couple months before he recorded that, he heard Ermeto playing with some bottles in the studio doing Hermeto's first record. They had like a who's who. But it's okay. We know about that. But it's wonderful to see how the influence in the music spreads over cultural and country borders, and that's really what music is. It's a universal force.
Right. Now, 1993 comes around. There's a lot of musicians moving to Seattle. They all want to be the next Nirvana, and you show up in 1993 having nothing to do with that. Why did you come to Seattle?
I was the last Nirvana. No, I mean, actually, everybody in Brazil, when I told them I'm moving to Seattle, they say, yeah, grunge. And I bought some pants when I came. Kind of like, they never really fit me well, but I tried, but it didn't quite work. But in a way, I think that what it is that Seattle has been the hub for music much before that. You know, we all know about, Ray Charles and Quincy Jones and Jimi Hendrix, and all those people are people that influenced me a lot when I was growing up. But I think the reason to move here had a lot more to do with sort of an intuitive feeling that I had when I actually took a boat to go up to Victoria and Vancouver Jazz Festival. We played there in 1990, and I saw the islands and the waters, and something just said, wow. I like this place. I would live here one day if somebody asked me. Then things turned out that way that I'm living here, and I love the region. I love the people. I love what we do at Cornish, the breeding new talent and fostering and mentoring them and playing with these guys, which are my favorite musicians in the whole world.
Fantastic. Now, you were a student at Cornish at first, but quickly you became a teacher. What was that transition like?
I still don't know. I came as a student of conducting. Mm-hmm. So when I came, I studied under Roger Nelson, who's still our colleague. They are a fantastic conductor. And Cornish was not even offering a course of conducting that semester. So I had private lessons with him in which I could conduct him playing the piano. And a couple months after that, I got a gig conducting Nutcracker. And that's something that I still love to do a lot. But I took two semesters, and on the third semester, I was asked to sub for one teacher and then the other.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. I'm still there. We really feel it's a place that has welcomed me personally, but everybody else that comes. So I feel very happy to be associated with such a creative, because more than a conservatory, sort of an exploratory. So I'm giving full rein to my wildest musical dreams. I say, we could do this, and yes, we can do it. So that I like that.
We're live in the studios with Jovino Santos Neto and his quinteto. We'd love to hear another song. What have you got for us next?
Okay, well, the first tune we played was a forró called For Óbvio, for obvious reasons. And we're going to play next a composition not by me. We'd like to do a lot of originals, but this is actually, just like when you play a lot of jazz, you have to pay homage to all the great people that have, blaze the trails that you walk on. And in the case of Musical Brasil, we owe a huge debt to Pixinguinha, who is pretty much, you can compare him in the span of his life and the breadth of his work to Duke Ellington. He's actually born in the same year Duke Ellington. He died in 1973. And he was first a virtuoso flute player. He was the first guy to bring a tenor saxophone into Brazil. And he created a Brazilian style of playing the tenor saxophone, which is contrapunto, completely different. And he wrote some beautiful music. So this tune, believe it or not, we're going to play, it's called Lamentos by the great Pixinguinha. It's from 1918. This is, so it doesn't sound like 1918. So I arranged it a little bit, but I have not changed the harmony. This is actually the original harmony. So people say, wow, this feels modern. Anyway, I'll let you hear it. It's called Lamentos by Pixinguinha. Thank you.
Jovino Santos Neto's Quinteto, live in the studios here at KPLU. It's Ben Thomas at the vibraphone, Chuck Deerdorf bass, Mark Ivester drums, and Jeff Bush at the percussion. Jovino, I'm sure people call you a Brazilian musician and a jazz musician, and I think your music really defies category, but there's a real lot of baggage that the word jazz carries around. And you've said some really great things about how jazz can be just about anything.
Yeah, you can. I think that Wayne Shorter recently said, for me, that's a Wayne Shorter quote. He says, for me, jazz means I dare you.
Ah, that's pretty
so
great.
You can interpret that the way you want. You know, I dare you to do something with this. So we're daring ourselves every day. And the issue of recreating the music on the spot, in the same way that Seattle's become like a foodie town, you know, people like to go to see some chef prepare the dish right there. We do the same. When we hear music like this, if you ask us to play the same tune again, it's going to be different. Even if we try to play the same thing, we couldn't. So understanding the nature of time, I think that jazz gives you that. At the same time that we are honored to have the music of so many composers have been written down so we can inherit it and pass it forward, we always make it fresh every day. We're chopping onions and frying stuff right here as we speak.
Now, another great thing about the Seattle music community is you've got a lot of fantastic musicians who are very flexible, who can do a lot of different things. And I wonder if you find that to be the case here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When we made our first record, it's going to be actually next year, will be 20 years that we released Caboclo, our first CD. And I remember taking that CD back to Brazil with Chuck and Mark wearing it and playing it for Hermeto, of all things, because, you know, I'd be very interested to see what you think. And we fooled him. I mean, to think, wow, I didn't know the hell these Brazilian musicians play there. And they said, no, Mark's from Spokane, Chuck's from Ohio, and they all grew up here in the Northwest. And at the same time, I was never worried about that they sound authentic. Because the word authentic is actually more loaded than jazz is, because nobody knows really what that is. And so I just was very happy with them doing what they feel with this music, and that pleases me enormously. And that's why, after all these years, we still have so much fun playing together.
I think one of the most interesting things I've discovered recently about Hermeto, I'm just getting to know him, is he played a lot of different instruments. You also play the flute and some electric keyboards, and you can probably get around the percussion set pretty well. What are the advantages of being able to play a lot of different things?
Well, I think for me, in my case, I play a little bit of flute. I don't consider myself a flute player. I kind of dabble in it, but it's giving me a really interesting melodic sense, which the piano, now I can transfer that back to the piano. But in the beginning, you have all these things that you can just wiggle your fingers at. And that's what usually would end up doing, just moving fingers around. But so the idea of making an instrument sing, I think is really associated with. So whenever you play an instrument that requires you to breathe, that's a wind instrument of any kind, brass or woodwind, or it actually lets you know that phrases actually have endings and beginnings, whereas if you're playing just the fingers, you can go doing that forever. But so the idea of actually imagining the phrasing of the music, dynamics, interpretation, having one note that changes volume, so that kind of thing on the piano. So it just expands on the idea. So you start as a musician by playing an instrument, but I think as you evolve, you play music. And the instrument is just, as the name says, just an instrument.
Right. Jovino Santos Neto's Quintetos live in the studios. The most current album is called Current.
That's correct.
And you were also telling me before we started that you've got some singles that you're working on with video?
Yeah. We decided that, you know, when we thought about what are we going to do next, we thought we can go into the studio, make a new CD, which, of course, we have so much material. We currently run a repertoire of about 120 tunes. So it's more than we can play in any one concert, even more than we can fit in a record. And we only recorded a small percentage of that. So we thought, you know, what's the best way to actually get this music out there? We thought, let's do a DVD. But I said, even better, let's just do a video and have that given away for everybody. You know, it's on YouTube, and we did a series of three videos last fall. So it's been editing, but it was really professionally made, kind of like a situation we have here in the studio, in which everybody's in the same room, looking at each other and really interacting, because that's the part that I'm the most proud of this band, is that we can look at each other and interact and joke and smile and do all the kind of make funny faces at each other when nobody else is looking. And that kind of thing, I think the video shows that. So we released those tracks as singles. The first one's called Festa na Macuca. The video came out in April. The audio track is available on your best online retailers out there. And this is something that we feel happy doing this, and we're very fortunate to get a grant from 4Culture to work on that, and a few other private owners in the area who supported us doing that. So I like that, but I still miss going into the studio and making more music. So, you know, you just try to cover your bases, keep having fun with it. That's what we do.
We got time for one more, Jovino. What would you like to play to finish off?
Okay, we're going to play a track from my CD, Roda Carioca, which was one of the ones that got nominated for a Latin Grammy a few years ago. This is a party song. It's a children's party song. Called Festa de Erê. Erê is a term in Portuguese. It's actually a Yoruba term that means the spirit of children, and which everybody has. Doesn't matter what age you are, there's a child in there somewhere. So we kind of cater to that. It's a bounce. It's a samba, but it's in 3/4, so it has a different kind of motion around. I hope you guys enjoy this one. It's called Festa de Erê.